KaiserNetwork.org.
Craig McClure, Executive Director of the International AIDS Society, thank you so much for joining us today. A record number of abstracts were submitted for the conference this year. What do you expect to be some of the latest scientific findings that will arise from the conference?
Well, I think there's a few important things that will be presented this year. One study that's generated a lot of buzz, of course, is the South African study of circumcision, looking at the potential impact of circumcision on reducing men's risk of HIV infection. So we'll be the results of that study will be presented, and I think people are going to be surprised at the results.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got what I think is a really interesting set of studies across the program being presented, looking at real hard evidence scaling up treatment and prevention programs in developing countries. I think in the field over the last 2 years, we've really made a commitment to scaling up prevention and treatment, but there hasn't yet been a lot of evidence of what's worked, how it's working, what combinations of drugs are seem to be working the best, how patients are adhering to their medication in developing countries. So there's a whole number of relatively small studies, but that are showing positive results overall of treatment in developing countries, but interesting pieces of information about what's working, how in different contexts. And then on the basic science front, there's going to be a number of presentations looking at some early preclinical results of some newer vaccines, some studies of microbicides that are going into now larger phase three efficacy trials. So I think it's going to be an interesting scientific program.
Now, talk a little bit about taking the scientific information that you're going to be discussing at the conference and actually translating that so people can take it back to their home countries and actually implement it for real-world results.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually the real focus of this conference, and I think what makes it different than other scientific conferences. We're really aiming at a program that tries to narrow the gap between discovery and intervention. So looking at what's being learned in basic prevention and clinical sciences that can be quickly adapted for use in the field. So for example, there's a number of studies being presented looking at new diagnostics, simple diagnostic tools that might be of use in contexts where the infrastructure is weaker, where the number of human beings delivering services or running laboratories is fewer. So that's really the essence of this conference, is how do we narrow that gap? How do we get our research and development accelerated, but then, even more important, accelerating the implementation of the results?
So how do you hope to actually accomplish that, to facilitate that?
Well, first of all, by bringing a large number of developing country researchers and program implementers to the conference. So providing opportunities for them to come to the conference, but also network with one another and think about, talk about with one another, how are we going to apply these results? So I think that's an important thing, that we've expanded the number of developing country researchers and programmers at the conference.
Excellent. So can you talk a little bit about the mix of people who are attending this conference and how it contributes to the spread of knowledge, but at the same time, how it can be challenging because they're coming from different viewpoints?
Sure, and in fact, that is one of the challenges of this conference, is we're bringing people together who are doing research in very advanced situations where they have access to the highest state of technology, huge number of people, ample resources, and at the same time, people working in much poorer contexts. I think what's important, though, about bringing people from the two different worlds, if you like, together, is so that people don't lose sight of the fact in more advanced research institutions, more advanced countries, don't lose sight of the fact that what they're really trying to do is develop tools, interventions, techniques that can be used in situations that are not that advanced.
Now, this is the first year that there's been a prevention track at the Pathogenesis and Treatment Conference. So can you talk a little bit about the challenges and the need, really, to work together, treatment and prevention, to actually work together.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason we added the prevention sciences concentration this time is partly because there is so much going on in the world of science looking into new prevention technologies, microbicides, vaccines, and then even using antiretrovirals themselves as potential prevention tools, the what's called PrEP, the pre-exposure prophylaxis studies. The one that people are most familiar with that's ongoing is using tenofovir as a once-a-day potential preventive tool for HIV. So really the treatment and prevention sciences are so intertwined, we thought it was important to add that component. And as you say, in the delivery of existing interventions, there has been a lot of emphasis on, in the last couple of years, on attempting to deliver treatment to keep people alive and healthy in developing countries. And prices have come down, and new models of delivery have been developed. But it's important to remember at the same time that we also need to advance the existing prevention tools we have, condoms, needles, syringes for injection drug users, female condoms, and behavioral counseling. So for us, it was extremely important that we combine those two.
Now, this is actually the third Pathogenesis and Treatment Conference. Can you just talk a little bit about how you see this conference having evolved over the past several years?
Sure. I mean, it's interesting that the first Pathogenesis and Treatment Conference took place in Latin America, and we're coming back to Latin America again. The first was in Buenos Aires, and I think part of the reason that we've come back again to Latin America is there often, you know, there's for good reason a lot of attention paid to Africa, and yet there are fewer opportunities in Latin America for researchers to come together. Now, in the case of Brazil, Brazil's led the way in terms of providing universal access to existing prevention and treatment tools. So hosting a conference that is about, you know, advancing research for the purposes of expanding interventions, Brazil was the perfect country. I think over time, this being the third conference, we have focused much more clearly what we're trying to do with this conference, which, as I mentioned, is really how do we narrow that gap between discovery and intervention. And so this time there is much more of an emphasis on what existing tools are being used and how they're being used and what data is being generated from their use in developing countries, combined with looking at state-of-the-art advances in science.
Now, you said Brazil was the perfect place to have this conference. Talk a little bit about the success Brazil has had in terms of treatment and prevention.
Sure. I mean, really, right from 1996, when combination antiretroviral therapy was shown to be successful at the Vancouver conference, the international conference where that was presented, really right from 1996, Brazil made a commitment, despite the high prices of drugs, to try to deliver treatment to all of the people that need it in Brazil. And they have accomplished that. And what we've seen over those intervening years is prices of drugs have come down, and I think that has been about a combination of factors, both originator companies or brand name drug companies lowering their prices for using and selling their drugs in developing countries, also the expansion of the generics industry producing some of the antiretrovirals. And Brazil, as you know, has a very strong generics industry. Now, of course, that's not without controversy, and one of the issues that will be present at this conference are the recent negotiations between Abbott and the Brazilian government regarding the price of Keytruda or lopinavir, ritonavir. I believe that those discussions are still ongoing, and one of the things that this issue points to, I think, and that makes it so complicated is, well, how do we ensure that research and development continues, that intellectual property is protected so that originators of drugs are compensated for their efforts, but at the same time, how poor people across the world are able to access new medicines, and in this case, HIV medicines.
And next year, the 16th International AIDS Conference will be in Toronto. Can you give us a preview of what participants can expect from next year's conference?
Sure. one of the things we've done at the IAS since the Bangkok meeting in 2004 was we embarked on a consultative process that we call Future Directions. It's involved about 50 individual interviews, stakeholder group consultations, all with experts across the field of HIV, whether they're scientists or government officials, policymakers, activists, NGOs, looking at the, what do we really want to accomplish with the international meeting? It's already the largest international conference on any health or development issue. But there was a sense that I had, that we had at the IAS, that we could do much more than just bring 20,000 people together and see what happens. So out of those consultations, we've really come, people have provided a lot of input that has led us to restructuring some of Toronto so that there will be many more sessions focused on dialogue and interaction with the audience. We've identified four key challenges in the field of HIV and AIDS that will be covered across the program in Toronto, as well as the traditional tracks and other presentations. So those challenges being accelerating research to end the epidemic, intensifying the involvement of affected communities, building and sustaining human resources for delivery of treatment and prevention in developing countries. And then finally, an important one, I think, for the field itself is how do we build new leadership within the HIV field and sustain that leadership so we can continue the fight over the long haul. So at Toronto, I think one thing you'll see that's different is that we are addressing these challenges in a structured way. There will be upfront background reports on each of those challenges and a team of rapporteurs that follow the challenges through report back at the end. We're trying to aim towards more accountability, really, and more follow-through on what commitments are made at these conferences, so looking back to Bangkok and then looking forward from Toronto. So a lot more structure, review of progress, a lot more intensified dialogue, and identification, hopefully, of ways to overcome some of these key challenges in HIV.
Craig McClure, Executive Director of the International AIDS Society, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.